Welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks to Repco Authorised Service for expert car service. To book online, you go to repcoservice.com. They bring us Sports Day. And our next guest is Daniel Garb, sports broadcaster, ABC's AFL commentator. He's part of the Nest podcast and he's doing many other things on the side. He's always got fingers in many pies, our Daniel Garb. But one thing that I love about him is he's always across the world game. Arsenal, too good for Leicester City. Man City, too good for Bournemouth. But Brentford, 4-0 winners over my old mob, Manchester United. They couldn't even get on the score sheet and Chelsea and Tottenham played out a draw. But firstly, Garby, as we welcome you in, Manchester United, they're on a road to nowhere right now.
Yeah, it's a big story in world sport, isn't it? Because they're a huge sporting organisation who are in absolute turmoil. And just when you think they've hit rock bottom, will they find a way to change that narrative yet again and plunge to new lows? And Erik ten Hag, the new manager, is the first coach in the history of Manchester United to lose his first two games of a season. And they're bottom of the table right now. So losses to Brighton at home and then Brentford away. They're 4-0 down at half time to Brentford. Manchester United, they started the preseason so well. They looked as if they had a new system and it's all fallen apart two games in. So the pressure mounts on the new manager, the pressure mounts on big-name players, and they are a club in complete and utter disarray at the moment. And as it stands, you can't see them making the top six, really. And just where they go from here, it's hard to really see a way out for them at this point in time. They're trying to sign players desperately before the window closes. It's all panicky stuff, really. And this is just a far cry from a club who set the tone and set the benchmark in world football, not just English football, for close to 20 years through the 90s and 2000s.
Yes, not since Sir Alex Ferguson have they really enjoyed success. And the Glazer family, how much heat on them, having been the owners and what's going on at the moment? What sort of pressure is building on that part of the club?
Enormous pressure, but they don't front the media at all. They manage to avoid any sort of scrutiny in front of the cameras because they stay away from all of that. They were at the game, I think, in the first weekend of the season, but they very rarely spend time around Manchester. Look, they have plunged lots of money into the club in terms of transfers, not their own money, but Manchester United over the last decade under the Glazers' reign has spent more money on transfers than any other club in world football. How they've operated as a business, though, is certainly worthy of criticism. And the big problem is they've presided over a toxic culture that has clearly emanated there at Manchester United, and they haven't fixed it. In fact, it's become worse. You know, the first two, 3 years after Sir Alex Ferguson, everyone forgave Manchester United for falling away because Fergie ran every single part of that football club. It was natural that they would struggle to find their feet after that. It's been more than 10 years since he's departed, or close to 10 years, sorry. And they're even worse in terms of the way they operate. So the Glazers need to take massive responsibility and enormous criticism for that. And you can understand why their fans want them out. And they're talking about boycotting the game against Liverpool next week to make a statement.
The good, the bad and the ugly I'm going to throw to you now, Garby. Nottingham Forest back in the top flight, first time for about 23 years. Terrific scenes at their home ground and a win, 1-0 at that. But then, of course, the London Derby and the managers. What happened at full-time there?
That was fantastic theatre, wasn't it, between Antonio Conte and Thomas Tuchel. Dramatic game. Chelsea, Tottenham, both sides, you would think, can mount a bit of a title challenge this season. How long that lasts for is up to question. But a two-all draw shows that they are very evenly balanced, these two sides, in terms of their early expectations this season. But the pressure ramped up and the managers got heated, that's for sure. They both copped a yellow card early on as they disputed a tackle on Kai Havertz from Chelsea. And then after the game, Antonio Conte held on a little bit too long in the handshake. Mark Latham, John Howard style, if you like. And it all boiled over after that. And both managers were given a red card and will be banned from the dugout for their next game. I reckon it's the worst confrontation we've seen in a managerial sense in the Premier League ever. I remember Mourinho and Wenger. I was at that game at Stamford Bridge in 2014, getting in a bit of a tasty duel. But this was a level above, for sure. It got pretty physical. So it's what we love about the Premier League, but both managers have been sanctioned, and that's probably the right decision.
All right. Now let's turn our attention to Ronaldo. Inter Milan and AC Milan turned down the chance to sign him, we believe.
Yeah, big clubs don't want him because he comes with a lot of baggage. Financial baggage, of course, a huge salary, and that's another issue plaguing Manchester United right now. And because he's 37, yes, he scores a lot of goals, but he doesn't really offer you much in a defensive sense, pressing from the front. So I think big clubs would take him if Ronaldo would be willing to buy in as a squad player and be happy to be rotated and come on off the bench, if you like. But he's not. He wants to be the main man. He still thinks he's the best player in the world. And he's still an exceptional player, of course, and he's arguably the best player of all time. But he's not the best player in the world anymore. And big clubs know that. Ronaldo maybe not admitting it to himself at this stage and doesn't want to be at Manchester United. Manchester United don't really know what to do with him. So it's a messy situation for him and for the club at the moment.
Tonight, or 3 a.m. our time, at least Liverpool Crystal Palace, as we get a look at Liverpool, one of the contenders this season.
Yeah, big opportunity for them after they drew 2-2 with Fulham on the opening weekend. Liverpool to kickstart their title charge, and they would be expected to beat Palace, maybe not beat them easily, but to dominate that football game and certainly claim all 3 points. A good chance for Darwin Nunez, the new signing, to get on the score sheet again, and keen to see Mohamed Salah, who has looked dangerous all through the pre-season, if he can reproduce his best stuff as well. They've got some injury concerns, Liverpool in midfield, a little bit light on there, but they should be too strong for Crystal Palace at home, and all eyes will be on them to see if they can get up to the speed of Manchester City, who look fantastic in the early stages of the season, along with Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus has been a fantastic signing, and they've won both their games as well. A perfect start for the Gunners.
And Garby, we know Ange Postecoglou is doing some great work at Celtic, and there is talk, and there has been talk, that he could one day find himself in a managerial role in the Premier League. Is that fanciful or could be reality?
Oh, I think it's reality for sure. I think if he has another big year or two at Celtic, I think the Premier League will definitely come calling. Celtic fans are resigned to losing Ange Postecoglou at some stage. And the track record tells you that managers who do well at Celtic and Rangers get called upon by Premier League clubs. You only have to look at Steven Gerrard, who did well at Rangers and is now managing Aston Villa. There's been some people saying, hey, Manchester United might come calling for Ange Postecoglou. He might say no, though, considering the way that Manchester United are performing at the minute and the dramas at that football club. But yeah, I think another big season at Celtic. Hopefully he wins the title, has a good Champions League campaign, and then he can have a pick at a club in the mid part of the EPL ladder and hopefully launch his career in England off the back of that and maybe take on one of the big clubs one day. Make no mistake, Ange Postecoglou thinks he can manage one of the biggest clubs in the world. He thinks that deep down. He might not say it, but I reckon he thinks it deep down, and this is a progression to hopefully doing that one day.
Well, he's getting runs on the board, Garby, and that's all you have to do. Thank you very, very much for your time tonight. We appreciate it, mate. Take care.
Thanks, boys. All the best.
Good on you. Daniel Garb there. He is a legend and part of the Nest podcast, of course. Now, Manchester United, unbelievable. John Chapman in 1921 was the last time that they've actually lost the first two Premier League matches in a season. It's incredible.
It is. And as I say, if you've been to Old Trafford, the history there, the pressure that is, and the expectations on the club is something that you'll very rarely experience. And what's happening at the moment after that loss to Brentford, I wouldn't be surprised if the fans get extremely restless in a hurry if they don't get some results soon.
We are going to have a chat to a Western Force signing, the new guy, Hamish Stewart. He'll join us next here on Sports Day.